Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Have you ever noticed how the anticipation for something is sometimes better than what actually happens? If you work having weekends off, you probably look forward to the weekend, and chances are you've had many Thursdays and Fridays with anticipation building for the weekend, only to realize late on Sunday that the weekend itself was less than expected. Sometimes, the expectation for the weekend is so great that some choose to have the weekend come before quitting time on Friday, and while that may be a bonus for them, it can put others at work under tremendous pressure to get everything done before the weekend. Repeat offenders sometimes will lose their job because they could not wait for the weekend. They lack patience, seeking something better for them in their mind than the job they had that was probably going to pay for all the fun they were going to have on the weekend. Patience is essential in our quest for salvation. Without patience, we will come up on the short end in our hope for eternal life, and we can be thankful that God has patience with us. Jesus was constantly challenged by the religious elites who questioned him on the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions of life, including who he associated with. It was seen as scandalous that he would be seen in the company of people thought of as sinners, or with those evil government employees we think of as tax collectors. The religious elites weren't able to see the value in what Jesus was doing because they did not want any of the people whom they looked down upon to rub off on them, and thought Jesus must surely think the same way. Instead, Jesus associated with sinners and tax collectors, but never became a sinner or tax collector himself. To explain the reasoning behind what he was doing, Jesus gave an example about a man who had two sons, the younger of whom wanted his portion of the inheritance up front, and the father gave it to him. It didn't take long for this son to move to a foreign country and spend everything, finding himself in serious need. He decided to work for a farmer feeding pigs and was so hungry he could only wish he could eat what the pigs were eating. He thought about how his father treated the hired help and realized his father treated them well. He decided to return to his father, but having spent his inheritance in advance, knew he could expect nothing more than to be treated like a servant. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. When he arrived back home, his father was very excited, and instead of treating him like a servant, treated him like a favored son, insisting that his son had the very best at a big welcome home party. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The older brother, who had not yet received any of his inheritance, returned from working in the fields and could not understand why there was a party. until one of the servants explained what was happening. Instead of being happy that his younger brother was home, the older brother was angry and refused to be part of the party. This bothered the father, who came out and tried to get his older son to be part of the party and explained that he was celebrating that his brother was back home and back in their lives again. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. The father showed great patience, both with his younger prodigal son and the older son who felt offended. He showed patience by welcoming back his younger son who foolishly spent his inheritance after trying to distance himself from his family, and also showed patience to his older son who became angry, likely because he saw himself as worthy and his younger brother as unworthy. Both sons were dealt with patiently. We can look to Abraham as a person of patience, who waited and waited and waited some more before he began to see the result of the promises of God. When God promised to make Abraham a great nation, that did not immediately happen. Abraham had to wait many years before even the first act of that promise was realized. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. When God spoke with Abraham and told him to leave his homeland and go to a land that God would show him, and that through him a great nation would arise, Abraham was already old, 75 years old. Today, most people who are 75 years old are retired, and few actively work. Imagine living your entire life in a country, only to be told by God at age 75 to go to a new land, a land you know very little about. That is what Abraham was told, and he went and saw the Canaanites in the land. Imagine how he must have felt, wondering how a 75-year-old man would come into possession of land already occupied by others who could have easily outnumbered him and individually more than matched his strength given his age. And yet, he trusted God. But the promise was not immediately given to Abraham at that time. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went out of him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto them. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. It would be 25 more years before Abraham's son Isaac was born. When the promise was given to Abraham, he was already old. And by the time the first act of that promise was realized, Abraham was beyond old, showing Abraham waited for the promises of God with patience. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Jesus gave us an example of patience through the story of the father of the prodigal son and the older son. Abraham lived a life of patience, having been promised the legacy of becoming a great nation at age 75 and waiting 25 years until seeing the first act of that promise realized. Patience is something we must have, along with many other qualities. Sometimes overlooked with patience is that patience is rarely needed when everything is going great in our life. When times are good and the family is happy, there is rarely a need for patience. Patience is needed when the circumstances of our lives is less than ideal. Paul points this out in Romans 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The Greek word that the word patient is translated from is Strong's Greek word 5278, hupomeno, meaning to be patient, to persevere, to endure. It's translated as endure in a few passages, including a familiar prophetic passage from Matthew. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We endure bad times and tough times. Nobody needs to endure good times and times of plenty. People tend to enjoy rather than endure their vacations and weekends. The reality television show Survivor is based on contestants enduring bad and tough times. The show probably wouldn't have the same appeal if contestants were pampered at a resort. When James writes that we are blessed when we endure temptation, we are not only enduring bad and tough times, but we are enduring the normal sinful nature of being human, and that sinful nature being human is always with us, in good times and in bad times. But endure is what we must do. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Paul, the apostle with the most letters in the Bible, had to endure, and so must we. He endured all things for the benefit of the called, chosen, and faithful, so that there would be no hindrance in our opportunity to receive salvation. When Paul endured, he sometimes suffered being in prison or receiving some type of other civil punishment. Enduring and suffering go together. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The patience we must have includes enduring correction from God. It won't be pleasant, but if we endure, it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Sometimes we suffer at the hands of other people for our faith, and nothing else. And when God allows this, we should take comfort knowing that God will use that for our benefit. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Sometimes words we think of as meaning patience also imply having patience with fortitude. Such a word is the Greek makrothumia, Strong's Greek word 3115, meaning to have patience with fortitude, telling us that having patience is not always a pleasant experience. Let's look at an example in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Another place rachmothumia is used is 1 Corinthians when describing love, showing how love will suffer a long time, having incredible patience. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long in this kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The Colossians were told by Paul to have many spiritual qualities, including patience, so that we can tolerate and forgive other people. If we are called to tolerate and forgive other people, that should clue us in. Relationships among even the called, chosen, and faithful aren't always easy, but cannot be overlooked or forgotten. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In his second letter, Peter writes that incredible patience is extended to us through God and Jesus Christ, so that all should come to repentance, knowing that we live in this end time and that the end time has been around since the time of the early church. We should expect scoffers who attempt to disconnect us from the promise of the return of Jesus Christ and our hope of eternal life. When others see a delay in the return of Jesus Christ, we need to see the incredible patience by Jesus Christ and God the Father, so that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men should count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul also wrote a message about the patience of God, explaining that through God's goodness, tolerance, and patience, God leads people to repentance. If God shows goodness, tolerance, and patience to us, unless we seek the wrath of God at a later date, we should also treat others with goodness, tolerance, and patience. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Having patience does not mean we are spiritually lazy, because being patient and lazy are not the same thing. Even though we are patient, we act with diligence regarding the faith we have and the hope of eternal life we share. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. For we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. David was a man after God's own heart. And even David needed patience. David coupled the patience he had with courage, telling us to not only wait on God, but to be of good courage. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When we think of waiting, we might think of a waiting room at a doctor's office. When David wrote of waiting patiently, that almost always implied some type of problem. The Hebrew word kur, Strong's Hebrew word 2342, implies waiting patiently under duress. Many different English words are translated from this word, such as afraid, anguish, fear, grievous, pain, sorrow, travail, tremble, wounded, and patiently. In Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. While we wait patiently, what we are enduring could be very intense, to the point we might cry out to God who will hear our cries. Even when we are patiently waiting for God and enduring bad situations, and even if we are waiting for long periods of time, like 25 years, as was the case with Abraham, we keep our trust in God, knowing that as God has delivered on past promises, as recorded in the Bible, God will deliver us also. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Ecclesiastes tells us that it is better to be patient than proud. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Proverbs tells us that if we have a situation that can result in anger, it is better for us to exercise patience than to be quick-minded. Proverbs 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. James reminds us to be patient until Jesus returns and to focus our heart on his return, not to focus on other people who may have brought us harm, knowing that the patience we must have is no less than the patience of the Old Testament prophets who valiantly proclaimed their message from God, who also suffered for that message. James also reminds us of the patience of Job, how in the end God acted with mercy. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. One of those prophets who exercised patience was Habakkuk, who explained that even though he would do what was needed as a prophet, he knew he would be reproved, and referred to his vision as a burden, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Habakkuk showed that even the truth of God can feel like a burden, and to Habakkuk, God said to write down the vision, to make it plain so that the reader could understand, even though the actual events wouldn't happen until the appointed time in the future, and we are told to wait for it. Again, another link to patience. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. We must have patience, patience in the faith, and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, and even patience in doing what is expected of us today. We cannot grow weary in doing good things today, and as we have opportunity, we must do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul was grateful for the patience extended to him, who first started life as a blasphemer and persecutor who brought physical harm to people of the early church. Paul was explaining that if patience could be given him with mercy extended to him with all of the bad things he did, the same could happen for any who are called to the faith so that they can have the hope of eternal life. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Isaiah writes that God never faints nor grows weary. He gives power to the faint. And those who wait on God with patience, God will renew their strength. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Paul suffered as an apostle and wrote about it, telling the reader that the sufferings of this present time can't be compared to the glory that would be revealed in us. When we suffer in this life today, when we see things are not right, and we patiently wait for the kingdom of God, we focus our perspective away from the troubles of this world to the hope we have in the return of Jesus Christ. And because it is a hope we have, it means we have not yet had the return of Jesus Christ, and it is with patience we await his return. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. God has been patient with each of us. And our patience, patiently waiting on God, is essential for our place in the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.